we had spent some time, actually about a week ago, my wife and I took a meal over to Steve and Shakun. And I will say something. If you've seen the picture of them this morning, what's the first thing you noticed about him? That big smile. And he could not talk, barely talk when we were there. And there still somehow seems to be a joy. And really, if this is teaching me anything, is, and I, you know how you know things, but when it's in your face is when it starts becoming more, a little more home, is something like that. We know that the situations in life that we all face or are going to face, honestly, the joy of God is, even though we have seen it, when you get into that situation like they are at, there somehow is a power there. There's a God that walks beside us. I want to talk about that God this morning, and I'm touching on a pretty big subject. I think it was the first message that I would have preached after, I believe it was right after the ordination, was on the Lord's Prayer. And I'm not touching on the Lord's Prayer this morning again, because there is, we covered it that time. But one thing I have never really did a tremendous dive into, and I know even today we're not going to be scratching the surface at all, but on the subject. But I actually want to talk again, or just talk about the subject of actual prayer. And we're going to be doing a little bit of hopping around the scriptures. So three major places that we're going to be touching on in the scriptures on this thing of prayer. Prayer is something that we all have known of since probably childhood. As long as I can remember, I remember going to church, and the preacher would get up and he would pray. And there's, how many prayers did we have this morning on a public way? And then if mom and dad, when over growing up, they had family devotions. And if I remember correctly, one of us children might take a turn, and then dad finished up with the prayer. So prayer has been kind of a part of our system, and a part of our church, and a part of our homes. And I'm afraid sometimes what happens is we stop sometimes realizing just by familiarity what actual prayer is and what it's for and why we do it. I am no authority on the subject of prayer as far as being a prayer warrior. There's people, I've heard of there's a lady that was crippled in the one church. I don't know that I knew her. That if you wanted a prayer that needed answering, you went to her. And somehow, through her connection with God, she would get answers. I am not, some people are prayer warriors. Some people seem to have a real gift for that. I don't know that I'm that person. But I will say this. I've had prayed where things didn't happen. I've had prayers that never seemed, and sometimes I believe didn't go much higher than the ceiling. I want to look at that a little bit this morning as well. What is it? What is prayer? Prayer is an invocation or an act that seeks to activate a rapport or connection with an object or deity through deliberate communication. Maybe I should read that again. Prayer is an invocation or an act that seeks to activate a rapport or connection with an object or a deity through deliberate communication. Any of you that have been in the mission field, you can go anywhere in the world, and as a whole, this thing of prayer It is something that's a part of the fiber of community. It just is. Everybody, every religion, if there is such, yeah, every religion, or even every angle of Christianity, have a prayer being a part of their religious experience. It almost seems like there is a hole in our heart. And we've all heard this. There's a God-sized hole. But even if you don't know it, there is something in our human DNA that when we get into life, you reach for something. A person who says, I believe in nothing. I will pray to no man. I will pray to no God. I believe in no man and no God. I can assure you of one thing. The day is going to come. They're going to be praying or wish they did. It's also interesting when you get into a real corner in your life, it seems human nature reaches for a higher power. And human nature has lost touch since the fall with God as a whole. But that need is still there for communication with a higher object or a deity. What it means by deliberate communication is just that. It means it is an act that we do on purpose. Prayer does not happen just by accident. What do all religions pray for? This is universal. We do it. Christianity is kind of tied in this, what I'm saying. Am I saying we're the same prayer people as the people who do not know God? No, but the needs are the same. We pray for protection or help, which is safety, health, or aid. Also part of this prayer is gratitude. And I looked it up. It is called thanking a higher power. I remember being so impressed with the Indians when I was a young person. I was a cowboy, by the way, so just putting that out there. The Indians actually, after they actually killed an animal or had a big blessing, they actually would give thanks to the Great Spirit. So gratitude, and I looked it up, a bunch of different other religions, how many religions, they do actually have gratitude. Can you pray to something and actually have gratitude? They're giving gratitude to a higher power. The other thing that is universal is asking of forgiveness and repentance. We come from a background where there was confessionals done. The Anabaptists go back in 1500s, as we know, to the Catholic Church. And in the Catholic Church, you went to confessional. And you asked me, forgive me, O Father, for I have, and then you go on with the, I have sinned, and you laid out your sin. It was the universal reaching for a higher forgiveness. You're going to do that through prayer. They do it through prayer. Some people do, or repair. Yeah, let me back up. Forgiveness and repentance through prayer. Guidance and wisdom. I would venture to say for every one of us, if I would ask every one of us the question, if you've ever felt helpless in a decision, big decision in front of you, is it the right one? The why and the road. You know the why and the road that you're at right now is going to make all the difference in how your life changes or how your life turns out. Or as you're walking, it feels like your path is just not quite open. Or it's murky. Or you're walking in fog. That happens. We reach for a higher power. I found this very interesting. There is a thing, these drug carriers that are bringing drugs of all things, agents of death. And when they're bringing the agents of death and of addiction, across the borders, they give sacrifices to Santa Marita. Talk about reaching for the wrong thing. Intercession. This is a big one. We can give, if you see people in your life, intercession means this, praying in behalf of someone else. How many of you know in your life of people that need help and are going down a wrong way? I do. I never really knew intercessory prayer until you started praying for maybe a child, which happened to me, or your own children. Intercessory prayer where you step in and say, God, this person is going so wrong. But this is also, this is something that is actually practiced outside the Christian faith. Another one is appeasing an angry God. This is where Christianity and paganism really goes sideways different. They really go different on this one. Sometimes we do things that are sinful, that anger God. You look at some of the things that Israel did, and some of God's servants did, and God was angry. So they appease an angry God. Something else that happens, and this is, also reminds me, the devil is such an absolute copycat when it comes to this thing of prayer. The other thing that they do to this day, is sacrifice. It's the offering of something for the appeasing of an angry God. The Aztecs back in years and years ago, the Aztecs, they actually would sacrifice 20,000 humans annually. That's conservative. That's a conservative number. Just to appease an angry God. We cannot appease an angry God by sacrificing animals, sacrificing anything in your life. There is one sacrifice that appeases an angry God, and that's the blood of His Son. What is Christian prayer? Turn with me to, this is what I want to look at the rest of the morning. What is a Christian prayer? What is Christian prayer? John 16, and these are again really, really familiar verses. We're going to be kind of cutting into a verse, into a chapter. So let's turn to John 16, verse 23 to 26. And I'm going to be reading in the New Living Translation. At that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth, that you will ask the Father directly, and He will grant your request because you use my name. You have not done this before. Ask using my name, you will receive and you will have abundant joy. I have spoken of these matters in figures of speech, but soon I will stop speaking figuratively and I will tell you plainly all about the Father, and then you shall ask in my name. I am not saying I will ask the Father on your behalf. This is what I say, that what I see in this. It is the relationship. The interesting thing about the relationship that we have with God is we can go directly to the throne. Before this time, we could not go to the throne. We had to go through a priest. We had to go through corporate worship rituals and sacrifices. Jesus Christ died and the veil was rent from top to bottom, meaning this, we have direct access to the Father. I like to also call it direct access to the throne. We also, with this relationship with God, is this. If you speak with God, if I speak with my wife, if she loves me, she will speak back. If we have a relationship, there is communication going on. One of the things that we do to communicate is we have conversation. If you don't have a conversation, you don't have a relationship. I don't care how much of a quiet person that we can be. The interesting thing, though, is, too, we have